You know, before we get started, I just want to take a moment to just, you know, acknowledge the big thing that's happened in this country just this past week. Australia is such a peaceful country, but this week we just saw how horrible things can get and people's lives have been affected. All sorts of things happen every day that we may not be aware of, but this, of course, what happened in Bondi, you know, it was public and it's kind of puts a stain or it puts something on, you know, the history of this country, like many other things. So I just wanted to take a moment to just kind of pray for the families that are dealing with this, especially during this Christmas season. Can you just join me in that? Father, we just so overwhelmed by what's happened in this nation recently in Bondi. And I just pray for the Bondi community, Lord. I just pray, Father, for people here, even in this service, who've been affected directly by what's happened. Father, this country is a country of peace. And I just pray, Father, that whatever the enemy intends to do to take that away, Father, it shall not happen. We will stand as believers. We will stand in faith that peace will stand. I pray, Father, that even during this Christmas season, that those families would just be comforted. You are the one who comforts. And I pray for those who are going to interact with them directly as they prepare even for funerals in that Bondi community, Father, that people, Christians, would just come around them. People of faith would come around each other to comfort each other. That something powerful, something meaningful will happen where people's hearts are turned towards you as communities gather together so that whatever the enemy meant for evil, you will turn it to good. And I just pray for comfort for those in our congregation, Lord, that are directly affected by what's happened. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, Christmas is such an exciting time, isn't it, of the year for most people. You've got friends and families gathering. You've got lots of food. You've got gifts being exchanged. You've got lights everywhere. And for me and my kids, well, it's mainly me, and I drag them along. One of the things that I like to do is to drive around, especially in the evening, admiring people's houses and the creativity, and trying not to give in to the pressure of having to explain to my kids why our house doesn't look like that. Now, the reality is, even in a season filled with so much brightness and excitement, many of us are feeling anxious, we're feeling overwhelmed, and even fearful because of the season that we find ourselves in. Some of us are carrying pressures around, you know, grief and loss, health deteriorating, relationships falling apart, confusion about decisions we need to make, financial challenges where we're struggling to make ends meet. In a world that feels more and more unpredictable, unsafe, and when we have no sense of control, the question I'm hoping to explore this morning is, where should we be looking to get counsel? And what are some of those challenges we face in actually doing that, if we know where to get counsel? If you're taking notes this morning, the title of my message is Wonderful Counselor. So where should we be looking for counsel? You know, counseling is traditionally, in the traditional sense, involves, you know, the role of sitting in a space of listening, reflecting back what you're hearing, and providing emotional and or psychological support. One of the most privileged hats that I wear is that of being a counselor, a therapist, offering therapy to individuals, couples, families. And over the years, you know, I've come across a whole range of burdens that people carry on a daily basis, weekly, yearly basis, from one Christmas to another. And I have to admit, with all of my knowledge and experience over the last 20 years or so, gained from working in that field, every now and then, I come across situations that are way above, they go above my head. You know, someone that I can't help, someone who still goes ahead and ends their life because they can no longer handle the suffering, couples therapy that ends in divorce. And then there's those who just disengage. You never see them again. They ghost you. And there's often mixed emotions. If you're a counselor or a therapist or whatever, you would know this. There's often mixed emotions that come with that. Because on the one hand, you convince yourself that, you know, I did everything I could to address the situation. But then you have another part of you that wonders, could I have done more? Or what did I miss? You know, each person tends to deal with their feelings of uncertainty, of vulnerability, confusion differently. We're unique. And it's not a bad thing to ask yourself those questions. But it can be if it brings you guilt, if it brings you shame. And it's in those moments that people tend to look for answers in all the wrong places, just to settle those emotions. You know, while others go for substances, others focus on their work, others get angry and irritable at everyone around them, others turn to food. I tend to fall in that category, mainly the crunchy chips. You know, in those moments, I have needed not only a mighty God to intervene or an everlasting Father to comfort me or even the Prince of Peace, but in those moments, I have needed the wonderful Counselor. You know, that phrase, wonderful Counselor, most of us have probably heard it before. It's taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 2 to 7. We're just going to go there. And I'm reading from the NIV. It says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." What does it mean that he is our Wonderful Counselor? The word wonderful in Hebrew is peleg. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Meaning beyond understanding, miraculous, awe-inspiring, supernatural. And the word counselor refers to someone, as we've said, who guides, someone who stands beside you, someone who gives wisdom, direction, and truth. The counsel that comes from God is different from the counsel that comes from a human being like myself. It involves supernatural wisdom and insight, solutions that are above human understanding and reasoning. They're extraordinary works. So where should we be looking to unload our burdens this Christmas? Because some of us, if not all of us, are carrying burdens this morning. The answer, of course, is to our wonderful counselor. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." I looked up the word cast, and it means to throw something forcefully. All, meaning the whole quantity of a thing, your anxiety, meaning your worries, your nervousness, your unease, your stress response to perceived threat, on him, the wonderful counselor, because he cares. He has concern for you and I. So it's basically saying, forcefully throw the whole weight of your worries, the whole weight of your concerns, your stresses, your burdens on the wonderful counselor, for the very reason that he has concern for you. So we know where to go for counsel, but we still find it challenging to seek him and to receive from that wonderful counselor. We struggle with that. We have the head knowledge. We even have the revelation, but we don't always seek him. The thing is, you cannot benefit from a gift you do not receive. You cannot receive counsel from the one you're not willing to receive counsel from. Unto us a child is born, is given, but we must receive him. I'm often fascinated by some common phrases that, you know, we hear. They sound really good in some instances, but not always true. I've got two that popped in my mind that I want to share. The first saying is this: no pain, no gain. Some people believe that the pain they're experiencing in their lives is because God wants to punish them, teach them a lesson. And that God cannot just forgive them just like that without some type of suffering or pain to accompany that. Your pain that you're going through this morning is not a sign of punishment or training that God is giving you to gain acceptance with him. The truth is, there is absolutely nothing that you and I can do to cleanse ourselves or make up for our sin, and forgiveness is a gift. So the question is, if you knew 100% that God did not care to cause you pain or cause you to suffer as punishment for what you have done or what you think you have done to offend him, how would that change how you approach the wonderful counselor? The second saying is this: one size fits all. That's always fascinated me, especially when you go in the clothes shops. Like, how does that work? And the thing is, sometimes we can adopt that with how we view God. One size fits all. You know, some people have tried one way to connect with God or a certain church, and because that one way did not work that one time, that one message did not sit well with them, that one experience did not work, they decided it did not work at all, and they gave up. They came to a conclusion, a faulty conclusion. Because the truth is that we are unique individuals with unique backgrounds, unique experiences, unique needs and expectations. So I say one size does not fit all, because we were never meant to wear the same piece of clothing. Otherwise, we'd all be the same size, right? You must only wear what was tailor-made for you. So the question is, if you knew that God wanted you to come to him without trying to be someone else, without trying to fit into someone else's mold of how a relationship with God is meant to be, without comparing yourself, without judging yourself, how would that change how you approach the wonderful counselor? Whatever you need the counselor for this morning, you don't need to experience pain or fit a specific mold to experience that wonderful counselor. That's a lie from the enemy. You know, it says that The devil is our enemy, which means he does not like us. It means he hates us. There's nothing good that he has for you and I. The Bible says that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But we know that God comes to give life and life more abundantly. And it is when we unload to him that we can restore hope. Hope is such a powerful word. Hope is one of my favorite words. Hope is what distinguishes our faith from all others. Hope. Proverbs 13 verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. If you've ever prayed for something and not gotten an answer, you know that prolonged waiting can lead to discouragement, grief, weariness, loss of motivation. That is what hope deferred looks like. But it said that a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. When God answers your prayer or brings fulfillment, sometimes differently or later than expected, it restores something. Vitality, joy, renewed strength. Life is injected back into your situation. Verse 2 in Isaiah chapter 7 that I read at the beginning says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Here we're being offered a solution. There is hope in the person of Jesus Christ. We see a promise of a shift from that place of darkness. The important question is, have you seen the great light? It's one thing to talk about it and sing about it. It's another to experience it. It's another to encounter that great light. It says in the scripture that we will see joy increased. Because when the light comes and is received, burdens are shattered. Oppression is broken. People no longer have to war. People no longer have to fight their own battles. Some of us are still fighting our own battles. We don't have to. That's his job. The counsel of the Lord is indeed wonderful. In being the wonderful counselor, the Lord Jesus counsels us in so many different ways. He counsels us through his presence, where he gives us peace. If you've ever been in the presence of the Lord, and I believe all, if not most of us have, there's a peace. And it says that peace surpasses all understanding. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind, where you feel at peace when everything around you is falling apart. I've just been reminded of, how many years have we been married? 21 years ago, after we got married, and, you know, Pastor Stephen was in a car accident, and we were driving. I was still wearing the clothes from the night before, you know, late night, and we're driving to where the exit of the hospital where he is. And we were playing Hillsong in the car. There was just this peace. Now, part of me was like, is that peace or is that shock? I choose to believe it was peace that surpasses all understanding. I didn't know what I was going to see, but there was this peace. When his presence fills a room, anxiety loses power. When he draws close, confusion begins to lift. He counsels us through his word. One verse can bring clarity to a year of uncertainty. His word is a light unto our path. His truth cuts through the lies. He counsels us through the Holy Spirit that is called the Counselor. He guides our thoughts and whispers direction. He prompts our decisions. He corrects us gently. He counsels us through his people. And God often places the right voices around us, our leaders, our friends, our family, our mentors, our connect group. To restore hope in the work I was doing, to shift my mind from a dark place of spiraling when things were not working out with clients, my mind spiraling into discouragement or self-doubt, to lift that burden off of myself and back on him, and to allow him to put things into perspective for me, I had to stop and seek the wonderful counselor. And that is the key. You and I have to stop and seek him. Call him by name. It says he will be called by whom? He will be called wonderful counselor by whom? You and I. Tell him who he is. You are the wonderful counselor. Unto us a child is born, and he shall be called wonderful counselor. I want to speak specifically about something that the Lord really pressed on my heart. It kind of hit me a bit. I was like, where did that come from? But I really feel that this is for us this morning. Survivor guilt. Survivor guilt is that intense emotional distress, that remorse, that self-blame that we experience. It's experienced when you are that person who survived a traumatic event, accidents, disasters, illness, while others died or suffered. And it often involves feelings of being unworthy, questioning why you were spared, and usually, you know, leads to other, you know, traumas. Your survivor guilt this morning may not be as obvious as what I've just described. But I wonder, among your peers or your family, have you felt like you were the one spared suffering because your parents stayed together while others separated? Because you didn't get the chronic illness while others' health deteriorated? Because you made it financially while your loved ones continue to struggle? Survivor guilt is a tactic of the enemy to steal your joy and peace. The problem with survivor guilt is that it can lead to you and I minimizing or downplaying our achievements in life. It can lead to people pleasing. It can lead to overextending. It can lead to rescuing. It can lead to difficulty enjoying abundance or celebrating milestones. You don't want to celebrate too much. You don't want to tell people your good news. If you are someone who learned that in order to belong to a community or a family or anything, you had to remain the same as everyone else, then your brain can interpret any type of growth or blessing or advancement in any area of your life as dangerous or unsafe. When the Lord tries to speak to you about joy, about peace, about healing, then as long as you feel that others are still suffering, your brain is going to resist that and will not make room for it. But unto us a child is born. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Survivor guilt. I just would like us to just take a moment to think through that. Do I have survivor guilt? Think about it. In your own family, do you look at yourself like you're that one who made it? You're that one who didn't go through the most. And so you're constantly overcompensating. You don't show up the way God wants you to show up. You see, the experiences that we have in our own families, in our own lives growing up, we bring them to church. They're there in the background. We come to church and we hear the messages and we agree with the messages, but they don't land. And even if they do land, there is no transformation.